The Youth's Instructor, October 5, 1899. We Have Seen His Star, Part 1. The Youth's Instructor, October 5, 1899. We Have Seen His Star, Part 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. These men were men of noble birth, learned in art and science. They were astrologers, and in the heavens they had seen the glory of God. But they had not a full knowledge of the author of the wonders they studied. The Magi of the East varied in honor and integrity, some sinking to a low level, and using their knowledge of science to impose on the credulity of others for their own selfish ends, while others refused thus to dishonor themselves and deceive the people. The latter class were noble men who followed the indications of God's providence as revealed in the heavens and the earth. It was not God's purpose that the light he had given to patriarchs and prophets should be confined to the Jewish nation. He designed that it should be carried to all parts of the earth. But the Israelites misinterpreted the command given them in regard to intermarrying with other nations. This command was given to guard God's people from idolatry. But they made it a wall of separation, a barrier to any communication with other nations. They regarded themselves as the only people whom God would acknowledge, and looked upon all others as despised by him. Thus they became narrow in their ideas. And while separating themselves from the heathen, they also separated themselves from God. By walking contrary to his requirements, they were building a wall of separation between themselves and God. The children of Israel did not walk in the light given them by him who had been their invisible leader through 40 years of wilderness wandering. Had they cherished the light and practiced the gracious lessons given them by Christ, forming characters in accordance with the principles of truth, they would have retained God's favor. Great wisdom and knowledge would have been given them. God would have made them channels through which he could communicate truth, and by which he would have been made a praise in all the earth. Thus his wisdom and matchless love would have been sounded throughout the world. God's people failed to carry out his purpose, but there were among them those who were faithful and loyal. In the providence of God, the Jews were scattered by captivity through all countries. And during these years of bondage, faith in God was kept alive by faithful witnesses. There were those who would not disregard the Sabbath of the Lord, who would not observe heathen festivals. These were persecuted, and many lost their lives, as God's people always have since the death of Abel. From the time of his expulsion from heaven, Satan has been working on these lines. In various ways, the light of truth was communicated to those in darkness. In Egypt, Joseph's example of unbending integrity witnessed for God, and the treatment he received shows that there were those in the kingdom who respected nobility of character, even when found in captives who were regarded as slaves. Loving and fearing God did not detract from the usefulness of God's servants, for God honored them and worked for them, so that they were enabled to be standard-bearers, carrying the banner of truth and knowledge through the dark places of the earth. The history of Daniel and his three companions in Babylon is another instance of the way in which the Lord uses faithful men. They did not yield up their faith, but through all the temptations to which they were exposed, they preserved the knowledge of God. They made his honor prominent. They would not break his law to save themselves from being thought singular. When brought before kings and rulers to explain why they would not obey the laws of the land, they repeated the precepts and statutes of God, which they dared not transgress. And so wonderfully did God work in the kingdom of Babylon, that Nebuchadnezzar the king sent a proclamation throughout his dominion, exalting the God of the Hebrews as one to be honored and revered above all heathen gods. Thus, through faithful witnesses, the truth of God went to all parts of the earth. In every generation, God manifested his power through those who held aloft the banner of truth, calling the attention of idol worshippers to the true and living God, the Creator of the world. Because of a perverted knowledge of the system of sacrifices and offerings that God had established in Israel, the heathen offered sacrifices to idols. Many of these idolaters were as sincere in the performance of their religious service as were the Israelites in theirs. And as the worshippers of the true God were brought face to face with these practices, light shone forth, and many noble and learned men listened eagerly to the truth in regard to the Messiah and the true origin of sacrifices and offerings. Many believed, as they were told that these offerings symbolized the one great sacrifice that was to be offered for the sins of the world. Thus, the knowledge of truth was imparted by the true Israelites to those living in idolatry. While they hung their harps upon the willows, bemoaning their captivity, light was shining in darkness, dispelling sophistry and superstition, and revealing the Savior.